Welcome to Skilled and Fulfilled, a podcast for service providers, coaches, and freelancers. You got into business because you're good at what you do, and now you're stuck marketing a business. If you're tired of out-of-touch advice from big-name educators, you'll love real insights from real people who realistically want to make an income from their business and not run ragged in the process. And I'm your host, Felter Unfiltered. Hey there, welcome to another episode of Skilled and Fulfilled. Today we're talking about what to do when your client's stuff looks bad and you're not a graphic designer. So this is for you if you have to create stuff for your client. Social and video content, podcast assets, product packaging, presentations, launch graphics, email content, and you think the stuff looks bad. Therefore, that is making you look bad. And this is an important topic beyond just aesthetics, because what stuff looks like affects how people perceive our brand, meaning they will see our stuff and they will perceive that is a professional brand, that is a high-end brand, that is an amateur brand. They will get the vibe based off of what we are putting out there. So of course, we want to make sure that vibe is aligned with what we are trying to communicate about ourselves. What stuff looks like also affects if we attract or repel our ideal clients, again, based off what we're communicating. And it also affects how people trust us based off of what they see across many channels. So people come to me all the time and they say, Felter, how do I tell my clients that their stuff looks bad? I'm creating this podcast graphic. I'm creating a reel. I'm creating a presentation for a course for my client and their stuff looks bad. How can I fix this, still get my job done, get them results, and salvage the relationship in the process? So in this episode, I'm going to go through 6 different reasons for why it might look bad, what to do for each of them, and then when does bad actually affect their bottom line? And make sure that you stay until the end, because I'm going to share how to have a potentially difficult conversation with a client about their branding or their assets. So the first reason that you might think that your client stuff looks bad is because it's not your personal taste. And we all have personal preferences. This is actually why I discourage my clients from taking their branding out to a vote, because we don't want our brand to just be based off of mass appeal. We want it to be based off of specifically appealing to the type of client that we want to appeal to and communicating about our brand, what we want to communicate. So let's take the example of Walmart versus Target. These are 2 similar stores. They're big box retailers that sell pretty much the same things, but they are trying to appeal to 2 different types of buyers. And when you look at their branding, you can see that one is more family friendly, more affordable, one maybe a little more style, slightly more high end. And when you look at each of their branding, one isn't bad and one isn't good. It's that they are trying to appeal to 2 different buyers. So in the case of your client, if their branding is not aligned specifically with who they are trying to attract and what they are trying to communicate about their business, then that's a major problem. So we want to first take preferences out of it. Take your favorite color, what type of fonts you gravitate toward, what type of templates you like to work with. And we want to get really clear on what are the client's brand words. What are 5 words that they would want their ideal person to use to describe their business when they come across anything visual related to their brand? So when they get to their website, when they get to their Instagram, when they see a course presentation or a video about their podcast, do they want to be described as high-end or affordable, approachable or helpful? What are those different words? And we want to make sure that the branding actually aligns with this. I have a really great free quiz. It's what fonts and colors work for your brand. There's a link for it in the show notes. That can be a great place to get started. I also have a branding course called DIY to Deluxe, which walks you through the exact steps to create your branding and ensure that it aligns with your ideal client and what you're trying to communicate. And that might also be the perfect solution. The second reason that we might think that their stuff looks bad is because there's inconsistent usage of defined branding. So this is when the website looks one way, but presentations look another, and the Instagram looks another. So it's not necessarily that the branding is not communicating the right thing or it's not the right vibe. It's just that it's being used very hodgepodge. There's a poor execution or poor oversight of the branding, and there are not necessarily consistent layouts, fonts, and colors. So this can really affect someone's bottom line because it diminishes trust. So an inconsistent presence has a tendency to look a little fishy. I've used the example before of if you were shopping online and a website looked one way and then you got to the checkout and things looked slightly off, like fonts, colors, alignment, the logo was a little different, that would throw up some red flags and that would cause you to hesitate from putting your credit card in. So this inconsistent presence is a subconscious red flag for people that something's a little off here. Of course, what we would want to do is make sure that there's a very well-defined brand and it's documented. These are the fonts and how we use them, the colors and how we use them, the design elements and how we use them, the logos and how we use them, and there's a consistent usage across every channel. And actually, this is why I created my brand refresh service. When I did market research with service providers and I asked what was the biggest struggle that they had in terms of their branding, they all told me that pretty much everything had been DIY'd and maybe some things had been created by a professional, and there was really just no consistent presence, and they were at the phase of their business where they were ready to start charging more and really scaling, and they needed that consistency. That's actually what I do as a part of that service, is I make sure that there's very clear defined rules for how the branding is used, and I redesign a bunch of assets to get them to be in line with the defined branding. And remember, I'm going to share at the end of the episode how to have the conversation with your client if you're to every single one of these saying, yes, 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 and yes, this is a problem, so that you can get your job done and not burn a bridge in the process. That brings us to number three. And another reason that you might think that the stuff looks bad is because there are not enough defined brand elements. When someone does not have enough fonts, it is difficult to create hierarchy, meaning one thing is the most prominent and then there's something else that's a little less prominent and the eye visually knows where to go down the page, down the design, down the presentation, or it makes it really difficult to create contrast, to clearly be able to look at something and not have to read and see this is a heading, this is a subheading, this is body copy. So that is a big issue whenever there are not enough fonts and everything just kind of blends together. When there are not enough colors, there is just a complete lack of variety and everything is duotone. It's either like this color on this color or vice versa. I recently worked with the Terra CPA firm to do a brand refresh for them, and they had two shades of green. One was like a kind of medium green and one was a very light green, and they had an issue that for their medium green, if they put white text on top of it, it was not super highly contrasted and not always really legible. And then if they put black text on top of it, they kind of had the same issue. They needed more colors so that they could easily have contrast, but still be able to use greens, which was something that was really important to them. So that's what we worked on, is expanding their color palette to make sure that they have enough variety. Because ideally, you want to be able to put multiple light brand colors on a dark brand color and multiple darks on a light, so that you have that really natural variety, but it's still on brand. So this can affect someone's bottom line if there are legibility issues. If people cannot easily read graphics, presentations, pages on a website, they're not going to try to read it at all, and they're just not going to absorb the information. So not having enough defined brand elements affects legibility, which affects someone getting the information to begin with and seeing that that person is worthy working with. Really, the solution here is to make sure that you have 2 to 3 fonts and 6 to 8 colors. And there's, of course, a lot more nuance to this, which is why in my branding course, I go through several lessons of everything you need to know about choosing fonts, pairing them, same with colors, so that you can have a really expansive palette and several different fonts to work with, but that they're still cohesive and on brand. If you're interested, there is a link in the show notes. The fourth reason that you think that stuff looks bad is because elements are being poorly used. So one of the biggest offenders here that I see is when people have really bright brand colors and they are using them for text, or they are using them for a very large shape or background, and it is really, really harsh on the eyes. So I did the branding for SGS Media, and one of the elements incorporated as a part of their branding was this really, really bright pink color that is only used for very thin outlines around shapes and around pictures. This is something that we clearly defined in the branding, that this is only going to be used for this application. Because as you can imagine, if they were trying to put like paragraph text in a super bright pink color on a white background, that would be nightmarish to try to read easily. And same thing with if they had this giant hot pink background on their website, it would strain your eyes to have to look at that much of a bright color. So again, just like the one before, this can affect someone's bottom line if there are legibility issues. We want to make sure that things like bright colors are not being used for text when it's hard to read. We want to make sure that there's always appropriate contrast between text and whatever is behind it so that things are clearly legible. So for this one, what you would want to do is determine what's working and what's not and suggest alternatives of how can we use this bright color instead of using it as text on a white background. Maybe we use it just for small little shapes or accents or lines. The fifth reason that you think that it looks bad is because it has a bad logo. Some of the biggest offenses that I see with logos would be that they are cluttered or crowded. So they're just filled with a bunch of artwork, words, details, taglines, years they were established, locations, etc. That they are not versatile, meaning that they don't easily fit into a square or a rectangle. They're either super vertical or super horizontal, and they can't be utilized in a lot of different places. And then last is that sometimes logos are not proportionate. So the proportions of the artwork or the brand mark compared to the actual text and the name of the business are not designed in a way so that when the entire logo is scaled down, let's say on a promo item or the bottom of a business card, the actual name of the business can't be read. So I worked with my friend Emily Conley, who owns Emily Writes Well, on her logo to make sure that it was super simple, because when it was originally designed, it included her location and a tagline that she was kind of loosely committed to. We wanted to make it to where her logo was just the name of her business and it was much more versatile and she could use it anywhere. And this is really something I recommend, is a big reason not to include your tagline in your logo, because it really limits you and prevents you from being able to pivot or bring on new offerings and things like that. So this can affect someone's bottom line, their logo looking bad, if the name of the business is unclear. So really the most important part of a logo is communicating the name of the business. So often people in their logos are leading with an inconsequential acronym that's super prominent. I'm going to be honest with you, most acronyms are not memorable. It would be so much better to just lead with the name of the business and have someone remember that instead. Now, of course, an exception to this is my own logo, which leads with the letters FU. And let me tell you, that is super memorable and is also very on brand for me, because people often tell me, I knew you were no nonsense when I saw your logo. So the good news here is that A logo is not as important as the rest of the branding. So everything else that we've talked about, fonts, colors, shapes, layouts, and consistently using them, that is so much more important about someone understanding the vibe of the business and being attracted to the business if they're supposed to be attracted to the business. All of that stuff is so much more important than the actual logo itself. So if you're in this situation with your client, my recommendation would just be to use the business name consistently. When I say consistently, I mean the exact same font and weight and size and capitalization and spacing and placement on the page or the slide or whatever instead of the logo. And this is a way to kind of get around making sure that the business name is forefront, that it is in a way branded, but it's okay that it's not the actual logo in case the logo has any of the offenses that I mentioned before. And then the last reason that we might think that their stuff looks bad is just because it is flat out bad looking. Whether that is that it looks dated, that it looks amateur or juvenile, or it looks really harsh, like the colors, some of the design elements that are used. So speaking of harsh, I worked with a personal injury attorney on his website because when he initially created it, he went to Fiverr and said, "Hello, I'm an attorney. I need a website." And someone just created a website for him that looked like every single other personal injury attorney out there. It was really harsh and it was really aggressive looking and also a little boring. And the reason he reached out to me was because he heard me speak on a podcast and he was like, "I'm not like other personal injury attorneys. I work with my clients and I make sure that we get them the best possible result for what they need. I'm not going to go and fight for years to get the millions of dollars if they really just want to get it settled as quickly as possible." What we did instead was we softened the colors, we softened the shapes, we softened the fonts, and we made it much less harsh looking and much more aligned with what he was trying to communicate about himself. So if your client's stuff is bad looking in general, it can affect their bottom line if it's not aligned with their brand personality. If the words that we would use to describe that stuff does not align with the words that they want their ideal client to use to describe them, then that is a huge problem and that is a huge disconnect. What you would want to do there is you would want to have a conversation with them about changing their branding or making some shifts to their branding. Remember, I said I was going to share that at the end. So first, let me just summarize all of the reasons that you might think that your client stuff looks bad. And that is that it's not your personal taste, that there's an inconsistent usage of the defined branding, that there are not enough defined brand elements, that elements are being poorly used, that there's a bad logo, or that it's just bad looking in general. The way that I would suggest having this conversation with your client, I do this in all of my work with clients because almost always I'm working with clients who already have branding that exists. So I want to be able to assess how they feel about their branding. So I will just ask them, "Hey, tell me how your branding was created." And this is a phenomenal way to be able to gauge. They will say something along the lines of, "I worked on it for 6 months when I was quitting my 9-to-5 job and I'm so proud of it and I love it so much." And then you know, okay, we're going to tread very lightly with the rest of the conversation. Or they might say something like, "My ex-husband created it. I hired a freelancer." You have to assess their level of emotional attachment to the way that the branding was created in the first place. Then I would go into asking them, what do they want to communicate about their brand? What are those 5 words? When someone gets to their website or their Instagram or interacts with their course or their podcast, what are those descriptive words that they would want an ideal client or buyer to use to describe them? And then kind of get them to, okay, well, when you look at your own website, is that how you feel? Or what about this site? How does that make you feel? Like really use those visual examples to help them kind of see and understand that. And then of course, you need to know what is their budget, timeline, and willingness to actually fix the problem. If they're barely scraping by, if they have another huge project that's about to happen, or if from the prior questions you gauge that they're not super willing, then you might just need to move on, suck it up, and say, "This isn't going to happen." But if they do have the budget, the timeline, and the willingness, I offer a free 5-minute online presence audit that your client is welcome to apply for. All they have to do is share the goal of their business and then whatever their 5 words are that I've talked about many times. And I send them a 5-minute video where I give 3 actionable tips to actually achieve the goals that they shared through any branding or website tweaks. This is a really great way to get them thinking and get them to understand what those tweaks might be. Now, if you've been listening to this and you're thinking, hey, all of these things actually apply to me and my own business and not just my client stuff, then I would start with my free brand quiz. That is linked in the show notes as well as everything else that I've talked about in this episode. You'll go through and you'll choose 2 brand words and I'll help you get started with some fonts and colors and how to work with them to actually achieve branding that aligns with your ideal client and what you want to communicate about your business. So I hope that you enjoyed this episode, that it was helpful. In next week's episode, I'm going to share the worst business advice that I've heard or been given and what I think is actually better advice. So I'll see you there. Is it over already? Make sure you're subscribed to the show so you don't miss any future episodes or updates. Thanks as always for listening and for being here. See you soon.